You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the ESO Dragon Con Report, a podcast dedicated to help newcomers and veterans prepare for the upcoming annual convention in downtown Atlanta. With interviews, advice, and news from the pros and fans alike, be careful, you never know, you might actually learn something.
Howdy, everyone, and welcome to the fifth episode of the ESO Dragon Con 2016 Con Report. As of when you're listening to this, there is now less than 100 days until Dragon Con. I'm your host for this show, Mike Gordon, and I'm pleased to introduce you to the rest of the station crew, starting, of course, with Director Mike Faber.
Hey, Mr. Mike, how are you?
How are you, sir?
I'm in shock. I didn't think it was 100 days.
I was wondering if there's a little bit more stuff that we're going to announce, too, that's kind of shocking, too. There's a few more changes, so this is going to be a pretty exciting episode.
Oh, that's an understatement. You know, everything we've said so far for the last 4 months for this podcast, forget. Throw it out the window. It's all been changed.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's still changing. And you know what? I don't even know if the stuff that we're going to talk about today is going to be true.
Oh, so. It's done. It is so done. Not.
As you heard, we also are pleased to have once again Darren Noel with us.
Hi, boys and ladies. What's up?
Howdy, sir. How are you?
I am just ducky.
And should I dare ask about the progression of the costumes?
I am just ducky.
Oh, are you going as ducky?
I could.
That'd be awesome.
Look a little John Cryer-ish.
That would be interesting.
You know, you could pull that off.
Yeah. I could pull a lot of things off, but common sense prevails.
Right. So moving on. also, welcome back with us, Mary Lou Who. Mary, welcome.
What's up?
Howdy, howdy. How goes the cosplay progression for you?
I'm finally formulating a list of things I need to do.
All right.
So kind of just figuring out what costumes I'm making. A little behind, but my list is going to be shorter this year, so it should end up okay. Tacoma's just like, what?
Yeah. We've
I'm like, I'm right there with you.
5 days before the con, get the duct tape and the super glue.
It's sort of my way.
At this point now, it's sort of like, okay, so what can I do in 3 months?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot in 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah. What do I already have in my closet?
And also, as we just heard, Dacoma Sanchez has joined us again. Thank you.
I am. Thank you guys for having me back and not, you know, completely banishing me after missing the last one.
Well, we missed you last month, so I take it you are feeling much better?
I am. Thank you.
Until you panic up for only 3 months left.
Hey, yeah! Hey, Dacoma, your 30-day suspension's over.
I have learned my lesson.
Shut up now.
We are also going to feature segments on this episode with Eternal Zan, Kevin Batchelder, and Michelle Biddick-Simmons. This Earth Station 1 special report is sponsored by the ESO Amazon eStore, where you can find all sorts of cool, geeky merchandise. If you're ordering some swag from Amazon, help us out by going through our link on our website, on our webpage. It's right at the top. It doesn't cost you anymore, and it helps us out a lot. If you'd like to leave feedback or comment on the show, please call our ESO feedback line at 404-963-9057. Or feel free to email us at esopodcast@gmail.com. All right, let's get started with some news and notes. The first thing I wanted to do was to congratulate our good friend, very good friend of the station, very good friend of the show, and very good friend, of course, Dragon Con, the media relations director, Dan Carroll, just celebrated 10 years of service with Dragon Con. So at the volunteers meeting last weekend, they gave him a little pin, a little button. This will actually be his 11th Dragon Con that he'll be at this year. But he has been there 10 years at where he's been doing volunteer work and servicing the actual con. So that's pretty cool. Not just attending, but actually working with the convention. That's a lot. That's 10 years. That's like a half the time that I've been there, really. Because I've been going there, attending and, you know, being a guest for over 20 now.
Yes, and they're giving you your gold watch this year, right?
Yeah, where's my pin? No, just kidding. So that's really cool. So congratulations on Dan on that. And also want to go over just a couple of important dates. The final day of $110 membership rates is passed. That was on May 13th. So now they are $120. They will be $120 until July 15th, in which they go up to $130. So obviously, as we keep saying, you know, the sooner you buy them, the cheaper they are. They've never sold out, so there's not a fear of that. But you never want to take it for granted, and you never want to pay more than you need to. So if you are, if you know you're going, get your membership now. Also, May 31st, so probably by the time you guys hear this, it might be already passed, but the guest application is closed. So if you do want to be a guest this year, the applications are no longer applicable for this year. So, better luck next year, I guess. And that's really all the dates. But there have been some announcements as far as moving. Last month, we had a map that was given to us about all the changes that were going to be made in terms of tracks and different things moving to different areas. And now a lot of that has been changed.
Get the paper shredders out, folks.
Yes. There's going to be some construction going on, some remodeling in the Hilton, in the bottom floor of the Hilton, in August and September. And so registration is moving back to the Sheridan.
Can we play the Benny Hill Yakety Sax music? Because I just picture all the registration picking up in the Sheraton and running down the street with all their equipment and then sitting down and going, oh crap, and then
that's what we should have done for the video.
I know.
Oh, you guys are so lucky that you guys didn't do the video, because there's so much more changes
than dude. You want to know how close we had to bite the bullet on this one? And we're going to go a little bit behind the scenes on this. We were scheduled to record the new ESO walking tour video of Dragon Con Sunday of this last weekend at 10 p.m. on Saturday. Dan Carroll messaged me and said, hey, there's some changes to Dragon Con. And I was like, what?
Because we were going to do this early in the morning.
Yeah, we were scheduled to meet at 9:30.
Go to bed.
Exactly. And it was like, literally, Dan gave me this list of, you know, what was going on. And I was like, oh, my God. So I had to quickly message Darren, say, hey, can we put it off for 2 weeks?
Yes, we can always put things off for 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So we got very lucky with that. Because, you know,
so we're going to wait till other things settle before we're going to make that. But
we already got, for the last video, people were like going, hey, you know, you were wrong on some of the things. I said, yes. No, but, yeah.
And you know that's going to happen. I mean,
that's going to happen because things change.
Things change. And at Dragon Con, you never know if it's going to happen until even after it's happened, you're not sure it happened.
And the proof that things change. Okay. There's a daily dragon. Things change all the time.
Yes.
All right.
another move. And this is not a physical move, but this is a big move nonetheless, is that Dragon Con Wrestling, which has been on, I believe it's been on Friday night, or is it Saturday night?
It was usually Saturday, I thought.
Yeah. It's now on Thursday.
Really?
Which is very interesting, because I remember a couple years ago, a couple tracks tried to do some programming on Thursday, and they kind of got their hands slapped. Yeah, so the fact that Dragon Con DCW is now moving to Thursday night, who knows what – I mean, it sounds like the convention is ready to have Thursday night programming now.
Well, they already have Wednesday night programming. Whether they want it or not.
It's me and Derek being drunk in the lobby.
And Tuesday night, too, I think.
I think people are already getting drunk in the lobby already for the cocktail.
Woo!
Yes, I think I know that I was around Mike a while back, and somebody asked us, they said, well, we're going to get there on Wednesday, but we're not sure if the con's really going to start, if we're going to have anything to do. And I'm like, you'll have plenty.
You'll have stuff to do.
The bar will already be full.
The bar will be open.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I think John Strangeway is already dressed as steampunk Boba Fett, and he's waiting at the con already, waiting for people.
Okay, so those folks who are interested in wrestling, and I understand that some of the folks that are involved with Dragon Con Wrestling are not terribly excited about this, but they're going to make do, and I'm sure it's going to be great. So, but if you are interested in seeing the wrestling, it's going to be on Thursday night. I'm not sure exactly where, but that'll be – I think it's in the same place, in the same hotel that it's been, so which has been in the Hyatt, one of the Centennial rooms, I think. Okay, so now some more movement of and in particular attention to America's Mart. Now we've already heard, and it's been confirmed, that floors 1 and 2 of building number 1 are going to be reserved for gaming, and it's going to be 24/7. So, well, not 7, 24/4. Is that what we could say? 24/5
for the open for the duration of the con.
Yes, for 24 hours. That'll be all gaming, all day, all night. Floors 1 and 2 of building 2 are going to be the vendors, dealers, and exhibitors. Floor 3 of building 2, this is new, so pay attention, and it affects me. Floor 3 of Building 2 is the new comic area for comics and pop artist alley and vendors related to comics and art.
Wow.
And there's no escalator going up there, Mike. You know that.
No. As long as there's an elevator.
No, I'm just kidding.
Of course there is. Need a crane.
That is a big change.
That's a huge change.
In the Hyatt.
That's a huge change. It's been in the Hyatt for, I want to say, 5 years now. Because it was over in the Hilton for years. And I thought it was doing really well at the Hyatt. But no, they've decided to move it I guess in some ways it could be I did talk to director Tom Trainer about this, and he's pretty excited because he says floor 3 is bigger. There's a larger area. So there will be maybe more artists. Certainly there'll be now the vendors who have comic book related, like back issues, and Neil Adams, for example, always was in the vendor area. He wasn't in the comic area, the artist alley. So I think that's going to bring that stuff back closer together. But I have no idea what the traffic's like, because ever since the vendors and dealers have moved over to America's Mart, I haven't been able to get over there.
The traffic is really good.
So busy.
Yeah, last year, the traffic was a lot better than the previous years.
Yes.
Well, the flow was awesome.
The flow was much better, and there were still a lot of people there.
Yes.
And we didn't break escalators.
No.
No.
Amazingly so.
This time. Knock wood.
It never felt claustrophobic either, which was great.
No. And they actually had...
Except for near Ultra Sabers and Chess X. Please, Dragon, separate those two. Please.
Chess X is always... claustrophobic.
It is, but when you put them next to the lightsaber booth, it's especially claustrophobic.
Yeah. Mm. But they did actually, one of the things I really liked was they actually had food options in the vending area.
Yes! Oh my god.
That was amazing. Good. You could even get coffee in the morning. It was so great.
Well, exactly. They had pizza, and also I think up in one of the floors they had Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
So that was pretty awesome.
And they had like a taco bar set up at one station. It was like a Moe's or something.
Yeah. Different stuff. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
That was also. It's not. We're not done because America's.
Why aren't we done? We
should floor 4.
4.
Yeah.
What?
The 4th floor of building 2 is now going to
be spoken of.
It's the roof, right? No. Is now the home of the Trek Track area, Star Trek.
Oh, wow.
Alternate
boldly
history.
Going where no one's gone before.
alternate history.
Alternate history. So our good friend Q's track is over there. And the track formerly known as Stargate is now a space military track. And it'll include things like Stargate, Battlestar Galactica, Babylon 5, Warhammer, stuff like that. Something more militaristic science fiction. That's going to be over there as well. So those three tracks will be over in floor 4 of America's Mark, building 2.
So what are they putting up?
I'm going to need someone to like map this out. And
I
guess
I feel bad for the person who's making the app. Whoever you are, I am sorry.
So delayed right now.
The app will not be coming out till day 2 of the con.
You know, and that's why we always say, you know, whether you're a newbie or whether you're an experienced pro, you've been going to Dragon Con for 20 some years. This is why we do this show, because there's stuff that's going to blow your mind. You're going to think you know where the comics are. Nope, not this year. You think you know where you can find our good friend Q? Not this year. He's on the same side of the street, though, right?
I never comment on which side of the street Q is working at any time.
Sometimes he goes on both sides of the street.
Hey, hi-yo. Hey.
No, because America's Mart is over to the same side of the street as the Westin, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
So there is that. Because I actually haven't been over there in years.
That's one thing. One thing to let people know, there is no Skybridge over to from the main hotels, the main three, over to the America's Mart. You actually have to go outside.
And it burns.
I don't like it.
There is one Skybridge from the Westin to the America's Mart building too, but they had it closed last year.
Of course.
Like you
did. Yeah,
do.
I think that's where I got lost once.
Explains so much.
I have a hard time with new places. Just don't find it. I'll be all right.
It's dangerous, Mary Lou. Here, take this.
I'm going to need some help, Darren.
Here's a piece of bread. Put down breadcrumbs and you'll follow.
Can you imagine me like getting really drunk? Like what I like to do is
No, I can totally.
Yes, I can.
Is go to the
I was
going to
say,
room.
Have I seen you any other way?
I'm not even going to know how to get to the game room, let alone get home. That is not going to be good.
Lordy. Parties to find Mary Lou. Say Mary Lou who? And we'll go, yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Well, gaming
I don't go anywhere alone at Dragon Con for the most part, especially at night. Like going to work and stuff, I will, but in the middle of the night, I never go by myself. So,
and that's very smart. That is absolutely smart. Something that we definitely should recommend for other folks as well.
Don't go outside at night by yourself in downtown Atlanta. Just don't do it.
Yep, travel in a group, people.
Yep.
There's a lot of people milling about, but
there's a lot of people around, but it is certainly not recommended.
No.
It's a group activity.
Yes, absolutely.
Much like drinking and sex.
So that's the extent of the
listeners are awake now.
That's the extent of the moves that we know of right now.
Probably next month we'll have a better idea.
Yeah, tune in next month to see what else has changed. I'm guessing with the Hilton construction, and I don't know. I'm kind of wondering now what's going to be in the basement of the Hyatt if they're moving the comics and pop artist alley out of there. I mean, I don't know what they're putting in there yet. And unless that's going to be a track room, one of the tracks, because a lot of the tracks are bulging at the seams. They need more space.
Well, look at our friends that are over at Brit Tracks. It's standing room only for almost every panel.
Well, not just that, but every time, especially ours.
Of course. I wasn't going to say that, but yeah.
Every track director that we talk to on this show always says they have, you know, they've gotten to the point now where it's standing room only. You know, whether it's the space track or Q's track or certainly Joe's track, you know, the American Classic Sci-Fi definitely needs more space. So I think that's what they're trying to accommodate as well here. So yes, we will definitely continue to keep you posted. I imagine after the next volunteer meeting, we'll have some more reports of other movements and hopefully some confirmation on other things.
And I'm sure after that, you know, our new video will be out of date anyway.
I think we're going to have to delay this video until August. It could I really do. Because, I mean, Q was in the Westin, right?
Yep.
Well, he was going into the Westin?
No, he was in the Westin. Then they moved him to the Sheraton.
Yeah, they were going to move him to the Sheraton. But then, and then, so, now with registration moving back to the Sheraton, he has to go over to the...
Well, that still begs the question, what's going into the Westin and Q's place?
Well, isn't that where LARPing is going and such?
Well, like I said, I think there's more room for other tracks.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to, you know, expand. Instead of... Yeah, expand, exactly. Okay, so one thing I wanted to talk about, and I was really excited about this, but now it seems kind of unfortunate because tickets are gone for this already. But I was so excited by the fact that they were going to have in conjunction with the Center for Puppetry Arts in here in Atlanta, they were actually going to have a sort of masquerade ball, a kickoff event on Thursday there that was DragonCon sponsored. It's a labyrinth masquerade ball. Obviously, costumes are definitely encouraged. No DragonCon badges required to attend, but the ticket prices were $125 a piece, and they are gone. I heard they went within 15 minutes.
Holy crap on a cracker.
Yeah. That's insane. I saw that post today, and I got all excited, and I was like, yes, another costume I'm going to attempt to make, and then now they're not there, and now I can't go. I'm really heartbroken.
the whole puppetry center was going to be decorated in labyrinth theme style. They're trying to make it an immersive experience. The costume contest is going to be judged by Brian Henson himself.
And they were going to do prizes that were all Henson and labyrinth themed as well, weren't
Absolutely.
They?
Most of the music was going to be inspired by the film or other dance stuff from the 80s.
That's so sad.
It sounds awesome. What I really like, though, is the fact that DragonCon is sort of even expanding more for their programming and getting other venues. I mean, we saw them get they've gotten Turner Field involved, which won't be an option next year because they're really gone.
Well, you guys still can
we
go.
We are not going to Cobb County for this convention. I'm sorry. No.
So that probably won't be on deck for
DragonCon moves to the Cobb Galleria.
Yeah, I know, right? No,
shudder.
Bite your tongue. But you know they do the event with the aquarium, which I believe is still available. I think that's an extra fee as well. But you can still get tickets for the aquarium benefit. But it's nice that they're doing that. So anyway, this is a really cool event, of course. You know, with in honor of David Bowie as well, it just makes it even more special. So I would hope this becomes an annual thing at the Center for Puppetry Arts. That would be really awesome. But unfortunately, like I said, it's sold out. But I'm sure they're going to air. They might have video for it because they've done that before. But you could still go now. If you can't get into that, you can go to see wrestling on Thursday night. So.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
Come on, put on Dance Magic Dance as someone gets a pile driver. It'll be fine.
All right, that I might watch, but it's still not the same.
All right, I got a couple more quick announcements. DragonCon TV. A couple things about DragonCon TV. One is that this year they are open to video submissions. So if you ever looked at a DragonCon TV clip and said, I want to do one of those, you can. You can actually film a video, and as long as you submit it by August 1st, that's the deadline. There is some submission guidelines, so check the DragonConTV.org site to find out more about that. But you can get involved. I guess they're really desperate for segments. I don't know. That sounds pretty exciting. And they're actually going to be doing DragonCon TV is performing live shows prior to DragonCon, starting with this weekend. This Thursday at MomoCon, DragonCon TV will be airing a live event with many of the folks behind DragonCon TV, and Dan Carroll will be part of that as well. So that starts, I believe, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and you can go to DragonCon TV to watch that as well. So I'm not sure if they'll be what they'll be covering, because they've never really done this before, so... So that's pretty exciting. And then last but not least, the Dragon Con Awards. We mentioned them, I think, a couple of episodes ago. And we haven't found out exactly, specifically, a lot more about them, except for the fact that any works released between July of last year and June of this year, June 30th of 2016, are eligible for this year's awards. You can look at what some of the candidates are already at the Dragon Con website. They've also announced that they're, in addition to the Dragon Con Awards, the Yugi Awards are also now going to be held at Dragon Con. And that's, I think, for short stories. It's the Yuji Foster Memorial Award for short fiction. Which celebrates the best in innovative fiction. The annual award will be presented for the first time at Dragon Con. So that's pretty cool. So they're really getting more involved with some awards, some national, worldwide attention, actually, for Dragon Con. So, yeah, they're getting older. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary, but it doesn't seem like they're slowing down anytime soon. So that's all the news that I have got. But I know, of course, there's been many guest announcements within the last 30 days. So, Mike and Mary, take it away.
All right. Mary, you want us to go first? We'll start at the bottom of the list.
Jason Isaacs is perhaps the best known for his portrayal of the sinister Lucius Malfoy in the Harry Potter series. But he brandishes an extensive list of credits, including The Patriot, Peter Pan, voice acting in Avatar The Last Airbender, and many more.
Megan Laura is a professional illustrator who has worked on covers for Dark Horse, as well as official artwork for Sci-Fi, Battlestar Galactica, Firefly, Dr. Horrible, and much, much more.
Leanna Renee Huber, actress, playwright, and award-winning nationally best-selling author. Leanna Renee Huber writes gothic Victorian fantasy for adults and teens, such as the Strangely Beautiful, Eternophiles, and Magic Most Foul series. A ghost tour guide in NYC, she is a proud member of AEA and SAG-AFTRA, working in film and television.
The Atlanta Radio Theater Company creates and performs original audio dramas since 1984.
Katrina Weedman is a paranormal researcher who starred in A&E's hit show Paranormal State. She also hosted the Chiller Channel's Real Fear and Real Fear 2. Katrina is now co-starring alongside Nick Groff in Destination America's Paranormal Lockdown.
Sean Pertwee consistently captivates audiences for his compelling performances in a variety of roles that span film, television, and stage, including his portrayal of Alfred Pennyworth in the hit television series Gotham. And he had the strange father figure. What show was he on? Oh, yeah, Doctor Who.
Okay, I don't know how to say this name. Any help?
David...
Mazu?
All
right. David Mazu first came to prominence for his lead role as Mute Jacob Jake Bohm in the TV series Touch. But in 2014, he landed the role he's best known for, young Bruce Wayne in Fox TV's series Gotham.
Nick Groff is a paranormal investigator who has starred in the Travel Channel's Ghost Adventure seasons 1 through 10 and is the star of Destination America's Paranormal Lockdown.
Jack Gleason is an Irish former actor, best known for his portrayal of Joffrey Baratheon in the HBO television series Game of Thrones. Gleason will be appearing at DragonCon on Sunday only. Oh my gosh, that's awesome! Have we ever got a Game of Thrones actor before?
Yeah, lots of them.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had lots of Game of Thrones people.
Sweetie, that was when you were drinking.
I had a panel, so.
Yeah, Hodor was there, and I think Jon Snow was even. Yeah.
No, Jon Snow wasn't. It was the Night of Flowers.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's only two.
No, we've had others.
Have we? Because those were the only two I knew of.
Yeah. Was it Peter? What's his name? The snaky guy.
Littlefinger?
Littlefinger's been there.
Oh, okay.
Huh.
Yeah. So we've had a few.
Okay, well, this is still like the biggest one. This is the biggest character from the show.
So
technically, Hodor's the biggest, okay?
Yeah. True. Oh, too soon.
He is, although, you know, Jeffrey is one of the most hated So yeah. He should get a lot of interesting questions.
Oh, yeah. I want to sit on that panel. Everyone throws the cabbage at him inside. Bring your vegetables and fruit, folks. Ryan
said he's a former actor. Maybe.
No, he's
he did. He gave it up.
He gave it
up. Yeah,
he went to college. I think he went to college. I think he's going to university now. Ryan Gage is best known for playing Alfred Lickenpittle in Peter Jackson's The Hobbit trilogy, as well as starring as Louis the 14th in the BBC hit TV series The Musketeers.
Oh, Lordy.
Tuatha Dre?
Tuatha Dea?
Yeah, that's good.
Celtic tribal gypsy rock with an Appalachian steampunk twist, incorporating conventional and non-conventional instrumentation with amazing vocals into super energetic costume performance, which includes original, traditional, and even cover material. Heavy percussion bass using interaction with the audience, family-friendly for all ages.
Melissa O'Neill has her turn in Broadway's Les Miserables and Jesus Christ Superstar. Melissa O'Neill has also had a flourishing theater career in both Canada and abroad, leading her to now star in sci-fi's series Dark Matter.
Nerf Herder. Pioneers of the late 90s pop punk and geek rock movements, best known for writing the theme for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Their newest album, Rocking Him, comes out March 11, 2016, and is an explosion of geekness with true-to-form songs like At the Con, I'm the Droid, and Ghostbusters 3.
Kirby Crackle is a pioneer of the nerd rock movement. Songs about comic books, video games, geek culture, and harnessing your inner awesome.
I don't know have they ever played Dragon Con before?
No, but they are excellent. Oh, my God. My nipples are hard.
Yeah. A few years ago, I think they were at Heroes.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Great guys. Great band.
Awesome.
Catch them. Catch them, Dragon Conners.
Mark Brooks is a Marvel exclusive illustrator known from most recently for his creative cover art on variety of titles such as the new Marvel Now titles, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers, New Avengers, Secret Avengers, and A+X.
Sharon Morgan is the owner of Altered Tyne Corset and a corset maker with Romancy Esquire Courtesy. She is the costume studio supervisor at the University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Thomas Marinari is a writer and podcaster. He's currently the co-managing editor of the Austin-based website oneofus.net and writes for Gruesome Magazine. His podcasting history includes co-hosting Horror News Radio, the Hannibal Fan Podcast, the American Horror Story Fan Podcast, and the Monster Movie Podcast.
See, I should show that to Judy and, you know, say, hey, I'm not doing too many podcasts. Look at this guy. The Musketeers is Atlanta's only Celtic rock band. We combine a variety of influences into a rock stage show with a traditional tilt. Band includes accordion, fiddle, and mandolin, as well as standard guitar, bass, and drums.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it does sound cool.
Thomas E. Snegoski is the author of more than 24 novels for adults, teens, and children. His teen fantasy series, Fallen, was adopted into monstrously successful TV movies by ABC Family Channel. His other books for teens include Sleeper Code, Legacy, as well as the series The Brimstone Network.
Tom Smith is a singer-songwriter who dabbles mostly in comedy, mostly in folk rock. Tom has had several legendary performances at Dragon Con, among others.
Jimmy Palmiotti is a multi-award-winning character creator, with a wide range of experience in advertising, production, consulting, editorial, film writing, development and production, media presentation, and video game development. His current work includes Harley Quinn and Starfire for DC Comics, The Con Job for Boom, and he currently has 3 feature films in development, Painkiller Jane, Random Acts of Violence, and Killing Time in America.
Chris Gore is a comedian and writer who was a regular on G4 TV's Attack of the Show, where he did the DV Duday segment as well as film coverage. He also is the founder of Film Threat, the author of several movie books, and a voice actor.
I know that Chris has been to Dragon Con a few times, but I don't remember him ever being officially on the guest list.
I've seen him there a couple times.
Yeah, especially in the comic area.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
Chris Chalk. After starring opposite Jeff Daniels in Aaron Sorkin's award-winning series, The Newsroom, for 3 seasons, Chris Chalk can now be seen playing Lucius Fox on Fox's drama series Gotham and the hit WGN series Underground.
Jason Bell is a Scottish actor who plays Bane in 2 installments of the Hobbit film series, Angus in Battleship, Hellerus in The Wrath of the Titans as Toby Coleman in Tracy Baker Returns.
James Marsters!
Yay, Spike!
maybe best known for his role of Spike, the punk goth vampire that he played for 6 seasons on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel. He's headlining fan favorite at conventions worldwide. He's appeared in numerous sci-fi series, including Smallville, Torchwood, Caprica, Supernatural, and Andromeda.
Bob Bergen voiced Porky, Tweety, Marvin the Martian, Henry Hawk, Sylvester Jr., and Speedy Gonzalez in a variety of feature films, albums, toys, games, and television series, including 2-time Emmy-nominated series Duck Dodgers!
Michael French is a co-founder of Retroblasting, a video channel that analyzes and deconstructs cartoons and toys of the 80s.
He's actually been on ESO a couple times, too.
Ooh.
Ooh. And that's the list for this month, folks.
Awesome. That's and it's a great list. It's already, they don't even have to make another guest announcement. It already sounds like a great show, but, you know, we know better. It's 3 months left.
Well,
we're going to get some more big names.
You think?
A lot more, I'm sure. From what we, you know, understand, and Mike, you can attest to this, from that they really want to do it up for the 30th anniversary. So there's going to be a lot more announcements to come.
I think we haven't seen anything yet, my friend.
So, watch this space. That's going to be really cool. Thanks, guys. And now let's go into our group discussion, which we had a really good suggestion, Tacoma, for the group discussion this month.
Yeah.
Gender roles in cosplay. I think especially it's applicable for Dragon Con. I definitely am looking forward to this discussion. Now, before we really get started, I do have a question. Is it silly? Is it offensive in any way to refer to this as crossplay?
Crossplay is a separate sublet of
this,
yeah.
Okay.
There's gender bends, then there are crossplays. There's a whole slew of different things that come into play when you talk about gender roles in cosplay. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about. Crossplay is primarily men or women who dress and actually physically alter their bodies, whether it's through makeup means or binding their breasts or whatever, to actually look like the sex of the character that they're portraying. That's a crossplay. Where a gender bend is where somebody takes a character that's primarily a male character and adapts it to be a female. Like you see a lot of last year I saw a lot of female Lokis. Loki's primarily a male character, but they wanted to make a female version of it. That's a gender bend.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of confusion that happens when you start throwing around those words. So it happens. It's just something you have to deal with. The reason I actually kind of wanted to bring this up is because it's something that I don't really feel gets talked about enough in the community. And not to mention that last month, which was the month I wasn't here for, was also Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And conventions and gender roles, and then we have the whole bathroom incident. This is really, these 2 months are really a great month, a great time period for us to talk about these. It's been my experience that genders and gender perception in cosplay varies. You have a lot of people who can be rude and mean towards women who are dressing in specific kinds of cosplay, and there are a lot of people who can be embracing and accepting of it. It really varies from con to con, but for the most part, I've seen most people have been really open about it. There was that horrible incident, and there have been several other horrible incidents that happened back in 2014, I'm sorry, at the San Diego Comic-Con, where a woman was actually beaten. She was actually 17. She was beaten and assaulted. It was later actually changed to say that she had a mysterious fall and happened to have eye socket injuries and a slew of other injuries. There's a lot of mysterious circumstances to that. And it's one of those things that you wonder, as a woman, do you need to worry about that kind of thing? And do you need to worry about it more or less as a man? And the objectification that comes with that. But feel free to chime in, guys. Like, this is like an open discussion. Like, I'm just going to start throwing out facts. Like, there was.
Yeah. I was just waiting for you to slow down, because I think last year, Mary Lou, correct me if I'm wrong, but last year both you and I got felt up in costume, right?
I did. Like 2 years ago, I think.
2 years ago for. Yeah, it may have been 2 years ago.
The thing is that stuff happens all the time. And, you know, actually, who was it? It was one of the reporters for one of the sites that I'm on actually did a poll a couple of years ago to see. And they said that out of all of the people that they polled, I think it was 13% of all attendees reported unwanted sexual comments about them at conventions. And another 8% all reported of being groped, assaulted, or raped at a comic convention.
Wow. That's kind of a high number.
I mean, think about that.
I don't think there's a single woman that will be surprised by that.
No.
Yeah.
No, I would agree with that. I think as a man, we don't think about it as much.
Well, and the thing is that goes for both sexes. That goes for everyone. That was across the board. Okay. And they had it divided out by everything, and that was across the board for everyone. And on top of that, that 8% that's reporting being assaulted, groped, or raped, only 20% of them didn't even know who it was that had done it. Because, you know, you're in a close quarter. You've got so many people around you, and you just don't know what happens. Then you throw in intoxication on top of that.
Yeah. Everyone's friend, alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know the girl who groped me was completely blitzed out of her mind. No, but I was wearing my Wonder Woman costume, so I guess I was.
Yeah, that's well.
Her hand went right under.
I mean,
yeah, her hand went right under my kilt and grabbed my package, asking if I was a guy or not. I'm like, clearly I am, and thank you. Not my type.
That's so crazy. Like,
it was
coming down
at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It wasn't even crazy nighttime.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I've found you can't like predict that kind of stuff. Like, people are going to do what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we all know my story. Like, I was in a Legends of the Hidden Temple costume. Like, I was cosplaying a 14-year-old. I was wearing blue jeans, knee guards, and elbow guards, and some tennis shoes and a helmet. Like, for all I knew, I was a dude with a big butt.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I wouldn't even look sexy. So, like, you can't, like, you know, predict anything. So, just by not, quote, dressing slutty, you are not preventing anything.
No,
I'm just going to go on about this. I'll stop now. So,
I mean, and then you have to get into dressing, the whole dressing slutty thing. The characters that are written and made for women are typically not the most well-clothed. Just going to throw that one out there. We're pretty obvious in that. And I mean, and I have no problems with it because I'm comfortable with who I am and what I look like and what I do, and I'll adapt things to be as comfortable as I can be. But how can you expect to be able to go out and cosplay as whoever it is you want and then be told that you're dressed as a slut or that you're asking for it or whatever? Because those are what your options are, really.
It's ridiculous. It's
completely ridiculous.
I mean, I wonder not that it makes any difference whatsoever. I do... but I'm just curious, frequently are the accosters or the aggressors, are they not in costume? Or are they, or is it costumers on costumers?
The girl who came up to me was not in a costume at all. Neither were her two male friends.
Because I wonder if there's like a sort of a bias.
Well, I mean, this is why they had problems in the hotel with some of the football fans, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know?
Yeah.
So... I think it's a matter of being exposed to it and understanding what it is and understanding that this is a look, not touch scenario.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole cosplay period. Is not consent yeah, campaign.
Totally.
People just can't wrap their mind around that.
No.
They just can't.
I mean, I know guys who can't wrap their minds around, like, just when they see, like, a sexy Harley Quinn. But when they see, like, a sexy, like, Robin, that really gets them confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, from the back in my Wonder Warrior outfit, I don't have a lot of hair on my body. I don't. And in, especially when I put on the knee-high boots, you can't see the calf hair at all. And I've had guys wolf whistle me.
And then you turn around.
And then I turn around and go, hey. They're like, whoa. Totally, we've had a moment of confusion. I was attracted to that.
That's a strange moment for them. And it's one of those things where when you're first.
I love that moment.
Yeah. You do, but you've also been doing this for a while. Like I was reading a lot of articles on people who are interested in crossplay, and I have a friend who's extremely interested in possibly doing some crossplay, but he is extremely shy and worried about how it's going to come off and whether or not he'll pass. And, you know, if he doesn't pass, how many people are going to make fun of him? What are they going to say? How many people are going to – I read articles about how when people were first doing a crossplay, how – you know, most of the people would come up and take photos and be all supportive. And then you would get some asshole who would come up, take a photo, and then walk away and cough under their breath. Freak. I mean, it's just, yeah.
Well, people are going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when you put on a costume and you walk out of your hotel door, you're committed to just doing that now.
Exactly. You're going to get that no matter what.
You're going to get that no matter what. Some idiot's going to post your picture somewhere. And they're going to make a comment about something they didn't like about you or the costume or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't perfectly done like they drew it in the comic book. Or, my God, he's too fat to wear that. Or, she's too skinny to be that costume. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did it to Gal Gadot for Wonder Woman. She's too skinny to play Wonder Woman. Well, she did it, so get over it.
It's like, I have the same, like, sort of deal going with, like, people who post spoilers the next day after a Game of Thrones episode aired.
Oh my gosh.
Like, you Stop really it. Want everyone in the world to have
Sorry,
manners and be respectful, and you want them to act well, but this is the internet and people are not going to behave well.
No.
So
I
haven't seen. You just have to kind of have that expectation going into it. Like, if you get on the internet the day after Game of Thrones airs, you might see
during. Spoilers.
If you go out in cosplay, you might get some shit said to you.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of have to have it in your mind that that is a possibility.
I mean,
I just throw up my Amazon bracelets at them, like, bring it. Come on.
and that is in no way. I'm sorry, go ahead.
All I was going to say was that's why I'm staying off Facebook right now. I don't want to see what happened in the season finale of Flash.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't mean to derail the conversation.
Oh, no.
All parallel.
No, but it is parallel.
It is.
I mean, because it is part of the wacky, you know, social media world that we live in.
Go ahead. Jinx.
somebody a Coke, okay?
If you're one of those people who's fortunate enough that you want to go ahead and try this and you have a group of friends who are supportive, even if they're not in costume with you, just to know that you have a support group around you is really comforting. But going to even a large convention like Dragon Con, which to me in the Southeast, it's really large. It can be really intimidating. Even with a couple of friends, it can still be really intimidating to take that step. And it's been my experience, or what I've seen at least anyway in the last couple of years, that the community, not just the cosplay community, but the geek and comic book convention community is actually opening up more towards the crossplays and gender bends and trans and LGBT communities, which is really, really nice. I know there was a couple of conventions over in the I'm losing my directions, the North Northwest, that had actually not only started their own campaigns before the cosplay does not equal consent, but they had started their own assault campaigns, and they had offered gender neutral bathrooms throughout all of their own hotels. And that's a good thing that comes from being in the community that you don't see everywhere. And I'd really like to see it embraced.
And I think, you know, Dragon Con has a little bit more going against it because it's got traditionally now the reputation of being the Mardi Gras, if you will, or the carnival of yeah. of nerd conventions, of costume conventions. So, you know, I mean, I can remember years. I mean, for 15 years, you know, folks have been kind of pulling out. They like to pull up the whole all the Craigslist stuff that happens at Dragon Con that you see that you can make fun of all the sexual stuff that happens and know, hey, this is, you know, that's what a lot of people see.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so it's got this reputation of being a highly sexual and party atmosphere convention.
Well, that is on us and all of the attendees to make sure that people know just because sex happens at this convention does not mean you get to behave
like a rabid animal
way toward people. Like, there are a lot of people there who aren't participating in that kind of behavior, and it's on them and it's on the people who are, and we all need to do better. We don't need that culture at the convention, and I don't think we can start saying, well, there's a culture of sexuality here, so stuff's going to happen. Like, well, not that was what you were saying at all, but that's the
way. No. I am not offering that as an excuse.
Not at all, but that's the way some people will read it. And we all need to do better and help fix it.
Yep. Well, I mean, sex is everywhere. You can't get away from sex.
No.
It is everywhere. But we have to remember simple manners. If you would say it to someone on the internet, you're going to eventually get into the habit of saying it to somebody's face.
Well, and here's the other thing is, yes, that's on us for us to go ahead and take that initiative and to grow the F up once in a while.
Yes.
But it's also behoove of the con directors to have a policy of some kind in place. Even at FrolicCon, they've got, okay, well, everything's fine so long as it's consensual, but you don't do this because you basically just don't be dumb. Because some people need that. They need it in writing. And really, the con needs that in order for it to be able to back itself up.
I think that's a great idea.
I don't see why they don't have policies. Many conventions don't have policies like that already in place.
Yeah, I must admit, I don't know specifically what Dragon Con's policy is. I mean, I know that they're... they've talked about, you know, cosplay does not equal consent, and I know that they've talked about some other issues, but I don't know specifically what their policies include.
Didn't they sign up last year about that? About cosplay is not consent, or am I imagining a different convention?
I don't remember, but I know in their rules they have something about don't be stupid.
Yeah, well, no.
Which is their blanket like statement of if you're stupid, we can kick you out.
Well, no, they had a full thing about the, cosplay is not consent. They had posters everywhere.
I thought I was remembering that.
We talked about it on last year's show, actually.
Yeah, Dragon Con is doing a lot. They're definitely doing, not to say that they can't do more, but they're doing a lot, and I think that that's worth something.
Well, I think we've said on the show before, too, it's hard to police 80,000 people.
Yeah.
In 80,000 people, you're going to get some people who are going to be stupid.
In 6, 7, whatever it is now, different buildings.
Yeah. That is a difficult logistic challenge to take on. It really is.
Sure.
And we have to help, and this is the only reason why, you know, things don't break out at Dragon Con is because, for the most part, 99% of us are well-behaved and well-mannered and are within our limits.
At least until, like, 9.
Well, I would say we're still in that happy buzz zone because that one time we did get out of our limits, we realized we did, and we kind of like went, oh, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Because you're in a public place and people are going to judge that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're the poor person who is throwing up in a pot in the Marriott, you know, maybe you should not drink so much. You know, but yeah, people look at that and go, wow. Just wow. Party fail. And it's even worse when you break a law, like assaulting someone because they're in a hot costume.
Or
look at the asshole a couple years back over at the Peachtree Center.
I think that was just last year.
Was that just last year?
Oh, the guy who kind of lured that girl away from her friends and
her
stuff.
Her friend, yeah.
Exactly.
Nah, don't do that, ladies. Don't do that.
Yeah, no. Please don't.
Go with a friend.
Yes.
You know, I think back to what we were talking about as far as the crossplay stuff goes, like, I think taking a friend, like Tacoma said, is a great idea. Have at least a couple of friends with you and someone who understands you and knows how to help you feel better and help you through something that's hard.
I mean, especially if it's your first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like I do that with some of my friends. Like, if they're feeling, you know, uncomfortable about a costume, like, I give off, like, a vibe. People do not mess with me. Yep. Like, on except the whole, people don't mess, except for that one guy, but he never saw my face, so I couldn't give him my stony-eyed glare. I assume it was him. I don't actually know. But, like, I don't know. I just give off this, like, people do not say stuff like freak around me, even when I'm with people who, you know, they might consider saying that too. So bring a friend. If you have a friend like that, do it. If you have a friend who just wants to be there for you, I think that's an awesome idea. And I would never discourage anyone from doing something that could potentially make them happy. I mean, I don't have a lot of people who have a lot of fun doing crossplay and doing gender bends. Like, my philosophy is, well, you know what? That kind of condones violence, so I'm not going to say that. But, but well, stand up for yourself, you know? Like, if you can do anything to make yourself more confident, you should do it.
Well, yeah, I remember the first time I wore my Wonder Warrior to Dragon Con, and I was like, I wasn't nervous about it, but I knew I was, you hadn't seen a lot of the gender bending cosplay at Dragon. I don't know if that's because it's the South or what, but when I started wearing it, it was me and another gentleman at the Wonder Woman shoot, and last year there were 25 of us dressed as Wonder Woman variations at the Wonder Woman shoot. So this kind of cosplay is getting much more popular and much more accepted by everyone, and they love it. They love to see guys dress up as female characters and vice versa.
Now, the one thing that I don't enjoy about crossplay, I really enjoy the enthusiasts who do it because they really want to do it. What I don't enjoy is when you get the football jock mentality geeks who are pseudo geeks who are dressing up as women with their hairy shaved legs and walking around with their stomachs out with a beer, making fun of a character and making fun really of the society and the culture and the people who are doing it because they enjoy it. That really gets to me.
Is that, like, where that's coming from? Like, I've never actually spoken to any people who do that kind of cosplay, and is that really, like, what's happening? Like, they're making fun of people?
There are a group of them. You can see them occasionally when you're out at a con. They're usually not very hard to find, but they're also not usually very prominent, and you'll find them. I saw one guy who was dressed up as Jessica Rabbit, a really crappy, drinking a beer, making fun, making lewd remarks, dressed up as Jessica Rabbit 2 or 3 years ago at Dragon Con. Huh. And he was just there for the party. And it was really, to me, that upsets me because it gives everybody else a bad name.
Well, yeah.
I get that.
But again, you know, if he's going to pay $140 to get into a con just to, like, point and laugh and snicker, eventually everyone at the con's going to know about him and going to avoid him like the plague.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be like, oh, it's him. Moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah, because part of the fun of going to a con is hanging out with people you know, talking with them, having a good time, and chilling out. If you're just going to be sad and sitting by a bar and going, look at the freaks in the costumes, well, thank you for paying the money to Dragon Con. Thank you. Because your opinion does not matter.
Yeah.
We'll have enough apple pie in us that you will be a blur in the periphery of our vision, and that is it.
That's what I usually called Sunday night last year.
Yep. supplies for next year.
One of the other things that I wanted to talk about was the difference between how a female cosplayer can become a professional, but men have such a harder time with it. And what's acceptable for I see a lot of female cosplayers who will do things like they'll offer subscriptions to their website that may have different photos that they don't get to see if you don't have the subscription, or they may send them like signed items, which, you know, granted is like a celebrity kind of thing. But there's definitely some highly sexual undertones to that, and that leads back to the objectification and whether or not that's a good or a bad thing, or whether or not it should be acceptable. I think everybody should be able to make a living doing whatever it is that they can make a living at. But at what point does that become detrimental?
That is really difficult.
I didn't come prepared. My Wikipedia.
It's a horrible catch 22.
It is. It is. I have never understood the idea of being a famous cosplayer. Right. And I get it that there are people out there who are famous at cosplaying. I do. I understand it.
There are people who get paid to do it.
Yeah. And I just do it for fun.
Right.
And that's my level of caring about it, you know? And I understand people who have spent years honing their craft and can do costumes that are Broadway perfect, show perfect, and are excellent. And you see those costumes and you go, wow, that is bloody amazing. And if they can make money being recognized for it, sure. I think when they make the switch to doing cheesecake or some guys, beefcake, whatever, that's a personal decision on their part. And however far they want to dip their toes or whatever into that pool, I have no judgment on that because I know guys who are porn stars. And wow, more power to you, dude. I don't think it's quote-unquote detrimental, but I think it does set up maybe an expectation in people's minds that every cosplayer does that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like saying every woman does porn and every guy does porn.
Only on our cell phones.
Yeah, exactly. So
Snapchat.
I think that's, yeah, 6 seconds. I think that whole dichotomy is just a false leaping to like try to slut shame. If people are assuming that all cosplayers are free, not free, get me wrong, but just they will show you their boobs or whatever for a 50 mm-hmm. buck charge on a Patreon site or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, if they're doing that to make money and you pay the 50 bucks, congratulations. But that doesn't mean everybody does that. And that assumption should not be made.
Because that's
lumping everybody into a big group of, wow, look at all these available dressed up porn stars, you know?
Yeah. And
I think it's on people and the viewers and people who consume that type of media, I guess, to be a little bit discerning. And, you know, I just don't think that that is the professional cosplayer's responsibility. No. Just as I don't believe it's a porn star's responsibility. Like, that's on people to be realistic and know that people are people and doing it for fun. Like, I'm sure that there are people who let others watch them have sex for fun, like for free. Then they just do it for free. But that doesn't mean everybody does it.
No, it's true.
I don't think.
He knows.
I don't necessarily. I do. Mm-hmm.
Don't know anything about that. Nope.
I just don't think we can start, like, if that's what those women want to do, good for them. Like, they're making money doing something they love, and I can't say anything bad about them for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say, if people are looking for that, there are porn conventions. Go to them.
Yeah.
there's websites out there.
If that's what you're looking for, find a porn.
But, you know, all of that said, like, it's on us, the rest of the community, to kind of enforce that mentality.
Totally.
Like, to speak up about some inappropriate behavior when we see it, so that people know it's not okay.
But I also find it the direct correlation with the fact that the people who are becoming professional cosplayers and who are actually making money are primarily women because they are so sexualized and objectified more than their male counterparts are. It just doesn't sit right with me.
Well, hang on. That's the whole dichotomy of the male-female relationship, is it? If women would pay men to have sex with them, the world would be different.
Well, if men played hard to get.
Men will never play hard to get.
I think that's just another symptom of all the problems with gender roles our society has. I think it's a symptom of a larger problem.
Yeah. Yeah, we've definitely, This,
men
yeah.
will only play hard. They will never
but
feeling
play
hard
like, again. But feeling like as a cosplayer who wants to break into becoming a professional cosplayer and getting paid for it, if I wanted to do that, let's say, feeling that the only way I'm ever going to actually make money is if I do something like that, it just seems wrong. It's basically one step away from the porn industry, which, you know, for people who are into porn, that's great. But it, for me, who just wants to make costumes and maybe have people like help contribute to my costumes, not so much.
Well, and I definitely think that there's, you know, some folks out there that are doing it the right way. So, I mean, it's not all one way.
Oh, no.
So,
no.
Yeah, fortunately, I don't think there's an easy solution to that other than change society.
Right on that.
Just, I mean,
just get those easy buttons.
Don't
you
know? You
know?
Yeah.
Along with done. World hunger and, you know, everything yeah.
exactly.
else.
Right.
I mean, a lot
right.
of the guys who are professional cosplayers are actually bodybuilders.
Mm-hmm.
They got that superhero build. So they're doing personal training to make money to contribute to their cosplay. They're competing in, you know, professional competitions for bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to take a different route because the way their form gets appreciated is a totally different way that yeah. the female mm-hmm. form typically gets appreciated.
Absolutely. And yes, we've definitely veered off the main topic. But
we never do that on the show, Mike.
I know, right? But it was a really interesting discussion, and I'm glad we did that.
This is the kind of stuff I like talking about, so I'm happy.
No, absolutely. And I think this is just the start of it. I think
see,
we're going to have
some
more
discussion. The kind of conversations that you have at a con while someone's in the corner dressed as a drunk Jessica Rabbit making fun of you. And it's fine because we're so into what we're talking about, he doesn't even exist.
Or when some dude comes up to me and my friends and won't take no for an answer, because yep. guess what? He will get an earful of feminism.
Oh, girl.
I am.
Figuring out.
All right. Well, definitely, this is, like I said, just the start of it. We're definitely going to revisit this topic, as well as others. So thank you very much.
Can I include one other thing? I actually reached out to Rock Upchurch, who's one of the artists from the Wack Queens and Image Comics and a bunch of other things, because I actually got to meet him a couple of years ago, and I asked him what his take on gender roles in cosplay were, and I thought I could kind of just interject that. Can I throw that in there?
Yes.
Isn't that the guy that beat his wife?
No.
Isn't it, though?
You're talking about the comic book artist?
Yeah.
I'm
going to Google it while you talk.
Okay. All right. So I was going to say he was super nice to me, but you never know. All right. So this is from Rock Upchurch, and it says, "So I think gender roles in cosplay shouldn't be a thing, like gender roles in general. You should do what you like, whether you're a girl who wants to be a Disney princess or Wolverine or a dude who wants to be a rat queen. It's up to you, but do it. Love it. Enjoy it. And I don't think any of it should be frowned upon or shamed, but rather celebrated. I love it all." And I thought that was a kind of good little quote that really sums up where I think we're going when it comes to gender and cosplay, at least where I hope we're going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen to that. So very good. But yes, we also have to, our regulars are standing by. So we have to go now to Kevin Batchelder.
Hey, and now we're here with Kevin of the Newbies Group. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Mike. Always a lot of fun coming in.
Welcome back. Gosh, can you believe it? As of this recording date, we are 100 days away.
100 days. Yes, I saw that on multiple postings today from Dragon Con friends, and I'm like, oh, once we hit double digits, everybody goes into panic mode.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh my God, I have so much weight to lose, according to Michelle.
Weight to lose, costume to do, planning to do, track directors going. Yeah.
No, exactly.
It's kind of a.
I guess I better find a hotel. Yeah, so it's kind of scary with that part. But yeah, it's really interesting. 100 days. And we're getting a lot of emails from folks who are saying they're coming to Dragon Con for the first time, and they've been using our show as a great resource, which we, you know, welcome aboard, as we like to say.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yes.
And, you know, of course, when you get to Dragon Con, first people you should look up, especially on Thursday, is Kevin and his group.
Well, thank you. Hopefully we can help to get folks started in the right direction between the walking tours and the Q&A, you know, open forum Q&A folks to get everybody.
Do you want to tell everyone a little bit about your group?
Sure. If folks, if you're on Facebook, that's by far our best resource ahead of con, as Mike is saying. Just search for DragonCon Newbies or go to our website at DragonConNewbies.org. We'll have the links there. But we've got a couple, a little over 2,000, 2,200 people in the group geared straight to the newbies. So we, any question related to con is fine with us. We've heard them before and we'll hear them again, but that's fine. We want to get them answered for you. So if you want to get yourself prepared a little bit, you can use that Facebook group leading up to con. And then at con, as Mike was mentioning, we are an unofficial group, our newbie group, but myself and Kim and Sue and Mike, who helped me keep everything organized, we do put on walking tours on Thursday afternoon, about a half-hour tour of the main three hotels and some discussion of some of the other ones as well, along with a just an open-form Q&A that afternoon as the tours leave. Folks go out on the tours with our tour guides. A few of us are still there just to answer any questions. So if you've just come in and are trying to get a handle on things, or you want to meet up some other newbies or some other folks in a very casual environment, that's a great chance to kind of get yourself centered and get a little bit of an idea what you're going to get yourself into come Friday morning.
Exactly. And you might actually, if you've been a veteran, you might even want to hook up with the newbies group with all the changes that are coming up this year.
Yeah, we tend to try to cover things that same way that you guys are going to be talking about a lot leading up to con. But if you need one final, okay, what was it all, or what did they tell me about where to go to registration and things like that, we'll certainly be covering all that most of the afternoon. I think around 2:30 we officially kick off. Tours are available between like 2:30 and 5, and then from 5:30 to 6:30 we also do another Q&A, even though we're doing a whole open forum Q&A during the tour time for those folks. Because we do, based on the last couple of years, we've had 400 or 500 people show up for that event.
Oh, it's amazing. I went to last year's Q&A on Thursday, and it was just amazing how full that room was.
Yeah. Yeah, the con has been very gracious to list our events in the program, which obviously helps as far as attendance, and also to give us the room space to be able to do this. And as you folks have been talking about, and we talk all the time, everything's subject to change. So we don't know our room number or where we'll be yet. We have been in the Marriott the last couple of years, but that could completely change. But yeah, that first year, I remember when they made it official and put it on there, they gave me that room. And we were like, wow, this is great. We're never going to come close to filling this thing with like 500 seats. And we had people standing in the back. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Okay, I guess we're on to something here.
Well, so, they even had DragonCon TV there filming you guys.
Yeah, we got to do a couple quick interviews with the DragonCon TV folks last year, which was just kind of cool. For those of us who've been going to con for years, we all know DragonCon TV. So to get a quick interview on there was kind of like just a fun con accomplishment.
Well, what should somebody who's getting ready for the con, especially a first-timer, be doing at this time with 100 days left to go?
As far as preparation goes, we've been talking it up for months now. You know, if you've got your hotel lined up, hopefully you've purchased your membership. If you can, if you got the funds and you're 100% sure you're coming to get the lowest cost for that, you know, some of those basics. A lot of your planning is going to probably need to wait until we get much closer to con and we start hearing about events and when they might be. But you got to get yourself on the mindset to realize, and we touched on a little bit last episode, again, the scope. We got 5 hotels plus America's Mart. Events are going to be very spread out. So if you're not already doing yourself a favor and doing some regular walking or getting a little bit in better shape that way, since many of us are, let's face it, in more geek shape than real shape. So you want to make sure, because you're going to need to make a lot of movement, and therefore a lot of the basics like staying hydrated and keeping some snacks handy, because you're going to have so much going on. And how are you going to carry all that around? Maybe thinking about if you're a backpack person or how are you going to do that is important.
Oh, of course. And, you know, folks, especially with them making the announcement that a lot of more panels, a lot of gaming are outside of the main hotels now. They're all going to be across the street at America's Mart. You're going to have to do some walking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no sky bridges, you know, basically connected to it. There's only one sky bridge connected to the America's Mart, and that's just from the Westin. And I don't think it was even open last year. So it'll be interesting to see.
No, that's right. That's what I was told. It's funny. I was going to go hunt that one out because it's one of the few things I'm like, I've never been on that. And then I come to say that, oh, we didn't have it open. So yeah, that will mean probably spending some time on the streets in the heat. Let's face it is Atlanta late in August, most likely high humidity, high temps.
Always a chance of thunderstorms.
thunderstorms as well. So we do tell folks, like I think it was last year, it looked like the early forecast was for several days with some late afternoon rain. We didn't end up with too much. But yeah, those thunderstorms can come in fast. And some folks are like, well, it's no big deal. It's warm. A thunderstorm will kind of help cool me down. Yeah, and then 5 minutes later, you're going to walk inside a giant ballroom that's going to feel like 45 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
You don't want to be doing that wet.
No. So, and another thing, you know, if you're in costume, you don't want to get that costume. You've spent so much time on it.
No, you put a lot of probably most, 50 weeks out of the year getting it ready. You don't want to risk that if you can.
Exactly. You don't want to see Iron Man rust right there on the spot.
So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of movement, and some folks don't take that into account. And that's why I know I'm a backpack kind of guy, so I love having a backpack, and I plan to, bring the basics like small water bottles or, little snacks, fairly, I won't say healthy, but, not always candy bars and stuff, because you're running around a lot. You might not have time for a full meal. You got to keep your food going that way. But things, hand sanitizer in there. Maybe a small stick of deodorant because you're going to be moving around a lot. Maybe if you're a guy like me or for many folks, another spare T-shirt,
mm-hmm.
some other things, a small bag to take around with you come in very handy.
One of the great things Dragon Con does, and this is at all the hotels and even at America Smart that I noticed last year, is the water stands. If you, have a water bottle, and we always recommend something that you could refill and carry in your backpack or in a pouch or something, because the water's free. It doesn't cost anything. Once you run out of your initial stuff, just go into one of the rooms and you have a fresh, cold water, and hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. We've seen too many people there pass out from dehydration.
Yeah, it is. And many of us, certainly the first time going, and I'll admit it too, certainly my first year or two was kind of like, yeah, but I'm not in that bad of shape and I'm used to that. No, again, if that's the biggest wall that people hit, it's the physical side of just that moving around so much to get to these different events. So we say it over and over, and we're a bit of a broken record for those of us who've been a few years, because as Mike just said, I have seen people pass out or need to have medical assistance way more often than I wish. And it's not because these people are in horrible shape or because they've been up all night drinking. Not that it doesn't happen. It's just, it's a massive amount of movement. Standing in some of those lines means you're on your feet a lot more than you might normally be. So it does tend to really do that. You're going to be talking a lot more. You're going to be meeting friends. So
exactly.
Your body as a whole is going to need that hydration and some nutrition, fairly decent nutrition too, not just one or two candy bars or, a nut bar or something. You're probably going to need something to make sure your system is able to handle that constant movement, or you're going to miss out on some fun stuff. And that's what really pains us, is seeing those folks hit that wall.
Well, exactly. It basically, you're going to be hanging out with 79,000 of your new best friends.
Yeah.
And they're all going to be in the upper lobby of the Marriott.
Or at least it's going to seem that way, right?
Oh, especially on Saturday night.
Saturday afternoon, too. Yeah.
Oh,
let's face
exactly.
It, Saturday is the biggest day for con in terms of attendees, too. So movement will be a little
difficult. This is something that actually Nikki and I talked about last month, was about the parade route. Dragon Con is very well known for its free parade, and it's advertised in the news. It's advertised in the newspapers. And, on internet and such, and it's a free event. You don't even have to buy a badge for go to the parade. And so you think it's a lot of people coming to Dragon Con, almost double that coming to the parade.
Oh, on Saturday. Yeah. Late morning, early afternoon.
Exactly.
It just explodes.
And if you're planning on going to the parade, it used to be, 9 years ago, that if you went to the parade, you were able to go and go a half hour or 15 minutes before the parade started and have a great spot. Not so anymore.
No.
You almost have
much harder to do.
The parade starts officially at 10 a.m. That's when they start marching. And sometimes it gets a little bit longer if you're further down the parade route. But if you want to get a good spot, I recommend getting there now like 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. Because it gets so crowded. Last year was actually the first year in the 10 years that I've been going to Dragon Con that I have not gone to the parade.
Ah, okay.
Just because it was too crowded. It's gotten too crazy.
Yeah. And a lot of folks will tell you, if you knew, that that's one of those can't miss events. again, if you're a parade type person, it's a pretty awesome experience. I mean, a lot of the parade will end up on YouTube afterwards.
Or so, DragonCon TV, if you're lucky Dragon enough to Con stay TV. At one of the hotels.
Yep, you can watch it from there. I know some folks will, if they have any experience with other cons, will then say, well, okay, well, maybe if there's that many people at the parade, that's when I'll plan to do maybe time in the dealer's hall, or maybe that's when I'm going to meet up with some friends or something like that, which is cool. But also realize, because it's running down the center of where the hotels are, there's going to be restricted access to get across streets.
I was about to mention that.
So you might, yeah, make sure you're where you want to be well ahead of time, because otherwise you might have an incredibly long walk around to get to a hotel that's literally you can see across the street because it's restricted access.
Well, that's the big problem now with everything being at the America's Mart. On Saturday morning, if it's past 9:30, you're not going to get across till at least 11:30 noon.
Yeah, because unless you want to walk, you know, half a mile down one way and across and back.
Exactly, because it's closed for a parade route. So, yeah. Now the parade route wraps around over by where off of Peachtree, over off of I think Andrew Young Boulevard or something like that, to go over by where like Hooters is and stuff, because going down by the Sheraton, and then it loops down to, because the official end of the parade, it goes right past the front of the Hyatt and it ends at the lobby of the Marriott.
Yes.
So it definitely wraps around. So beware.
Yep. That's what I tell folks. Keep in mind, if you're in the Marriott, Hilton, or Hyatt, which are all connected by indoor sky bridges, then Saturday morning you're fine getting back and forth there. But once you've got to head out, as Mike said, either across to America's Mod or across to the Westin, those are across the street, across the parade route. That's going to be very difficult to do. So that's where, once we get closer to con, kind of looking at where you plan to be, a little planning is going to help you quite a bit.
A lot of planning goes a long, long way.
And it's funny because we sit here and that's when we start talking about planning, and then folks are like, wait a minute, you folks told us not to plan too much. Mm-hmm. Well, some things you got to, okay?
So we lied a little bit. Come on.
Some parts of things you want to plan on. Other parts, that's fine. You go with the flow. But again, as Mike said, when it's 75, 80,000 people, there ain't much flow at certain spots. You better realize you're kind of stuck where you are.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And quickly learn that being outside could be almost your best friend if the sky bridges are way too packed. And during especially on Saturday, during peak times, you're going to be amazed how, you know, packed they are.
Yeah. And I know we've mentioned it other times before. And this is one of those ones folks usually get a good handle on when you do get to con. Again, if you have some time, if you're in fairly early or you've got some downtime between events, you're going to start to get the flow indoor moving between maybe those sky bridges. But take a few minutes and head outside and get a feel for which street goes where. Because, again, when those things fill up immensely at the height of the day, or when folks just by nature go there, being able to go outside and just walk up the side of the hotel to the next one is going to move a heck of a lot faster. Mm-hmm. So if you're someone trying to get to someplace else quickly and you don't mind dealing with a little bit of heat and humidity outside, then that will come in very handy in understanding which direction you're heading in to go to Sheridan as opposed to Weston as opposed to Hilton kind of thing.
Exactly. And, you know, folks, sometimes going outside is a nice breath of fresh air.
It's nice. You know, I do enjoy the cool air, but every now and then, you know, let's face it, a little brisk walk does you a lot of good when you're going to be spending a lot of time all day doing stuff.
Exactly. And, you know, as Michelle says, plan on, you know, wearing some comfortable shoes because you are going to be walking.
Oh, goodness. Break those in ahead of time. Yes. Cannot stress that enough. Find those comfortable shoes by July or August so they are broken in and good to go. Because, yeah, as we said, lots of time standing, lots of time walking. You end up with uncomfortable feet. It's going to kill your con experience.
Oh, yeah. And you want this to be a positive experience. This is why we're doing this, is to help everybody out there.
Yeah. Reach out to folks. Ask questions.
Exactly.
You know, that's what you guys enjoy doing. We enjoy it in the Newies group. We'd love to see folks get the great experience. So don't feel like you got to figure it all out yourself.
Mm-mm, exactly. And speaking of good experiences, how can people get in contact with you?
The easiest way is to just go to the DragonConNewbies.org website. That'll take you right to a blog post where we list links over to our Twitter account, Facebook page. We'll have our event pages up there that are on Facebook and some other resources. Links to your podcast, which folks are obviously aware of, but even some other resources, articles and wikis, other things. If you want to go deep, we'll get a lot of them listed right there.
That is awesome. Well, thank you again. And guess we'll see you again next month.
Yes, we will. Getting closer, Mike.
Oh, I'm going to have nightmares now tonight thinking 100 days. Yeah. 100 days. I'm just going to start hearing ticking in my head.
Click. That's right.
Thanks, Kevin. We'll see you soon.
All right. My pleasure.
And now we're sitting here with my good old friend from Drop from Dragon Con. Hello, Michelle.
Hello. How are you doing, Mike?
Good. It's good to talk to you again.
It's nice to talk to you.
So what do we got this month?
We're covering a couple of things. One is warm weather, and there's going to be two parts to this. The first part is there is a benefit to warm weather. There are actually two benefits. One, if you are really trying to get in shape and drop fat, warm weather really benefits you, because if you go out and do your cardio in the warm weather, it actually helps you reduce stored fat at a higher rate, and it keeps the burn going longer. This is something that athletes and actors have known for a long time, and a lot of trainers will get you outside and working in the warm weather because they know this as well. Extreme temperatures, hot or cold, have benefits. The cold, so when you do stuff during the winter, it's primarily brown fat that you build up more of, and you also can build up more muscle, which is very interesting. But with the warm weather, also stay hydrated, prehydrate, wear your sunblock, please. And when you get in, take your sunblock off as quickly as possible, because it actually keeps heat to you and keeps you from sweating as much, which is not good. But another really great benefit of warm weather is it gets us ready for Dragon Con. Because so many people, when the warm weather hits, they stay inside in the AC. That actually makes your body kind of stop sweating. And in some cases with people, it really does make you stop sweating, because your body is kind of tricked into thinking it's not warm. And when you go outside, you don't cool off as quickly. So take advantage of the warm weather that's starting up, even though I know it was 55 in DC recently. But get out in the warm weather and start getting ready for Dragon Con, because you are going to be late August, early September in the Atlanta weather. And if you already have pre-prepared your body, you've pre-hydrated, you know what you're going to wear, you're already sweating, which sounds really gross, but sweat actually helps cool you off. That's a part of what it does. You're ready for it, because you're going to be doing hills, you're going to be in tight spaces, you're going to be in the little inner tube area, you know, the habitrels, and you're going to be in the AC that dries out your mucous membranes. And this is gross, but it's true. So if you already prepared with the heat, your body actually can handle being in the AC better. And mucous membranes are your first big line of defense against con crud. So this is a really good thing to do. And if you're going to be in your hotel room a lot, or in the AC that you know is going to happen, bring a little nose spray thing with you for like saline water, because that really helps. It sounds odd, but it actually does help you, and it keeps you from getting as sick. But with the warm weather also, you're going to be in costumes. And I put out a question on Drop by Dragon Con for different things that people wanted covered. And someone actually said flat out she wanted to know how to stay cool in her costumes. It's three parts to this. One, when you are building the costume, think about putting in little pockets or areas where you can put ice packs. You can get little tiny ones that you just break and they stay cold for, you know, 15, 20 minutes or so. Think the type that when you're working out and you get a sprain, you can pop them and it stays cold for quite a while. You just want to make sure that they're not directly against your skin, that there's some sort of fabric in between, because ice on you for that long can actually cause some issues. And start where you want them to be is places that are where your vascular system comes to the surface, pulse points. So wrists, the neck area, lower back, ankles, back and neck, all of those areas help. One year at Dragon Con, Paul, for the periodic table, he's Argon, we decided to do dry ice on him someplace, not against his skin, obviously, but we wanted to make a little cloud. And it didn't go well, but let me tell you, it was one of the hottest Dragon Cons. That was the year that the three ambulances tried to get through. Paul was in heaven, because I had this thing basically taped up underneath his costume between his skin and fat, well, up against his fabric against his skin. He was cool the entire time. I ended up, the Boy Scouts give out the water that's chilled. I stuck them in my top, and that's what got me through that Dragon Con, and that really does help. Also, you can get wicking fabric that's exercise wear, because what it does is it helps move the sweat away from you, and that wicking action actually lowers the body temperature. It works with the air, but if you wear the wicking outfit underneath your costume and then have the little packets against that, that really does help a lot. And I want to tell you this really quickly. When you're working out in really hot weather, there's a trick you can do that's really amazing. And yes, athletes have known this for years. And like I said earlier, stars know this. We have brown fat, which is active fat that bears and things that hibernate have as well. But we have it in the area that's like our upper chest, around our neck and shoulders, and some people even have it on their upper back. What you can do is, after you've worked out and you come in, have ice packs. Put them up against your skin on the upper chest area, around the shoulders, up against the neck, and on the upper back at the base of the neck. Do this for like 15 minutes. It actually raises the metabolic rate and will actually help you, the stored fat, it actually hits it better. And you just 15 minutes, no more than that, but you actually will see, I keep saying actually, you will see a change with that if you're really working on the stored fat. Any questions with that?
So far, no. It sounds interesting. I didn't even know about brown fat.
Oh yeah. That's why they can hibernate for so long. We were taught for so long that fat was inactive, that it's an anaerobic environment. We now know a lot more about it. They knew about brown fat for decades. And they've been studying that. We can actually punch it up. When you work out in cold weather, you can build up more brown fat, and it means that you are more metabolically burning, because it's more like muscle. But we now know that fat itself, you know, the yellow stuff, actually has a lot more going on than we ever knew before. But I'm gonna switch us into health aspects, something I wanted to talk about. And it's dealing with the mucous membranes, getting you healthy, staying hydrated, and con crud, and more. When you are heavy, or a female, or both, we know this is true. It's been studied for a long time. The medical profession has been trying to change it, but everybody has biases. And unfortunately, females have a lot of this against them. It was in the news not long ago, and it has been for about a year and a half now, that doctors tend to overlook females' pains or underestimate their pain, and they're less likely to act upon when a patient comes in and says that they're in pain or that there's something wrong. They tend not to be heard as often. And there are really good doctors out there, so I'm not saying that all of them do this, but we know this is true. And in fact, there's this amazing, I love this, hang on just a second, I'm switching my page, there is a thing called Yentl syndrome that a doctor named Bernadine Healy coined in 1991. And yes, it is for the movie. And the premise is that women have to prove that they're equal to men in order to get acknowledged and taken care of properly in the medical profession. And she specifically cited heart attacks. And the reason I'm saying this is, a friend of mine who is a Dragon Conner and has been working to get back to Dragon Con for several years just had a heart attack. And she is a active, healthy female. And she went into the doctor, to the ER, and said something was wrong. That she explained what she felt like. They told her it was indigestion, and they sent her home. Two nights later, she went back telling them the same thing, that it was worse. They told her it was indigestion, gave her something, sent her home. The third time she went in, two nights later, the same thing happened. The next night she went in and told them that if they didn't do something, she was going to die, that she could feel it. And the doctor grudgingly was like, get the EKG and hook her up. And she had apparently been in cardiac arrest or having a cardiac episode the entire week and could have died, because they didn't look at the fact that, and the medical profession's been teaching this, but so many people still haven't caught this. Women and men do not always present with the same symptoms for heart attacks. Men often get that crushing feeling in the left side, or this, particularly the center of the chest, or the left arm goes numb, or they get sweaty and nauseated. Well, women also can have the heart pain, you know, in the chest and the arm hurt, and they can do the sweaty and nauseated, but often the nauseated can also be with like an indigestion side. I've heard women saying that they were burping and they were kind of freaked out that they were burping. They thought it was a gallbladder issue. And then you also, women get shoulder pains very badly. They often get arm, but in a different area, or neck pains, like the back of their neck will start hurting, or the side of their neck, or even their jaw and ear will start hurting. They also get stomach pain. So a lot of times they're just told, you know, oh, you have stomach flu or something. They get the sweating. Here's the one that really amazes me, and I've actually spoken with three women, and then I read this and read a description of this, that they get this fatigue that is so overwhelming that they just start yawning and they don't know why they're yawning. And one woman said she was just pacing because she knew she was so tired. If she laid down, she would not get up again, that she would be gone. And she finally just said to her husband, take me to the ER now. They all were very lucky, because most of the women that I've read this particular thing about, someone figured out what was going on. As a woman who, when we were in the car accident, I had gained some weight, but I was probably a 14, 16 at the time, but we get to the ER. Paul had been having chest pains from the seatbelt. They rushed him back right away. Well, I had a snap at the base of my skull, and I should have been collared right away and not been walking. Plus, I thought I had sunglasses on for like 8 hours, and that's kind of a clue that there's an issue. They sent me in to sit in the waiting room while they took Paul back. Well, and the woman up front was just really strange about it, but all of it, like, I'm on the phone with somebody, and all of a sudden the doors fly open and there are two nurses coming out as quickly as possible, one with a wheelchair, one with the neck brace, because I should have been, as soon as I came in, the fact that I had had a snap at the base of my, you know, my skull, I was in pain and I thought I was wearing sunglasses, I should have been treated differently immediately. But the woman had a bias, and it was really obvious, Paul and I talked about it later, that to her, and I was wearing a t-shirt with a skull on it. I think that was her other thing, is that she thought, you know, oh, but what, it was a lazy day. It was a t-shirt that was a fun t-shirt. And we like figured it out later, because I've had this happen twice where I had a doctor tell me I was exposed to something and got a really bad virus and I couldn't breathe. I woke up and literally couldn't breathe. I ended up hitting Paul and something dislodged in my throat. We went to the ER and the doctor said, I think you have sleep apnea. And Paul's like, no, she doesn't. I'm like, no, I don't. And he's like, well, how do you know? Because you'd be asleep. I'm like, if I even snore, I wake up, I wake Paul up, I apologize to him, and then I go back to sleep. And Paul's like, she really does do that. And he was like, well, you might have sleep apnea. No, I really don't. And I think it was a size 16, 18 at that point. But to him, it made perfect sense. And a friend of mine who's one of his ER nurses, we had a talk later, and this guy was really overweight, this doctor. But she actually did tell me that he had a bias against heavy females, that he thought all of them needed sleep studies and stuff. But here's the thing. The reason I'm bringing this up, you are your own best advocate. Male, female, heavy, thin, you are your own best advocate. But if you happen to be female and you happen to be heavy, or you just happen to be heavy and you're a guy, you may not be treated the way you should be treated when you go to the doctor. You need to know, listen to your body. If there is something wrong, if you go home, and I'm citing this now, last year, so many people went home from DragonCon with pneumonia. I had it. Paul had walking pneumonia. And then for months afterwards, people were still, you know, they'd send in their messages on Facebook or let someone know. All of a sudden, they'd get diagnosed with pneumonia. They had gone home. They were sick. They thought it was con crud. They go to the doctor. They're told it's sinus. They're put on the wrong medication. They're not getting better. They're coughing. They're really sick. They finally go back in, and some of them three or four times, and then they're finally diagnosed with pneumonia because the doctors didn't even think in that realm. I'm not sure why not, because we found out, and I just mentioned earlier, we found out to Mike, not to anybody else, people, so you'll be confused and wonder where this is cut out. But last year before DragonCon, there was an outbreak of bacterial and walking pneumonia in Alabama. And that was like for 3 weeks before it had been jumping from school to school. Well, I wish I'd known that. I wish everybody had known that, because there are ways to prevent pneumonia. I'm planning on getting a shot in just a week or two. And I'm getting the flu shot this year, which I rarely do, but I'm planning on doing it after last year. But the reason I'm mentioning this is if you don't stand up and make a doctor see when something's wrong, then you're not taking care of yourself. By not advocating for your own health, you are not doing the best thing you can for yourself. Yes, we unfortunately have people that are hypochondriacs, and that is something that kind of pushes the and unfortunately a lot of women, they think, are hypochondriacs, which I don't understand. But that does push the medical profession to like push back against us. But if you know there is something wrong, do not go in and not fight for yourself. Make sure you are heard, because if you don't advocate for yourself, no one else is going to. And before Dragon Con, I want you to hydrate. I want you to really start getting your vitamins and minerals in. Go get your flu shot if you need to. Do what you have to. Do your airborne, even if you don't believe in it. Do whatever you need for that, so that this year when you leave, you come back without con crud. Keep your mucous membranes healthy. Do you have any questions?
Well, one of my recommendations that we always do is, like you had mentioned, airborne, but also vitamin C tablets for a couple weeks before.
I do emergency or airborne, and I love both of those. And I'm finding that if I don't make sure my calcium, D, zinc, magnesium, and K2 are at the right levels, I can guarantee I'll get sick. It's not just C. Fruits and vegetables, people. Eat your fruits and vegetables. It's like what your mom always told you. That's true. And it will keep you healthier.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that doesn't mean fruit roll-ups, folks.
No, that's like candy jelly.
Exactly. No, when we say fruits, even a banana, even an apple.
Strawberries, high zinc. Exactly. Also good for your mojo.
Exactly. Woo, baby.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly.
And pumpkin seeds, also very good for you.
You know, that might be also another topic for another drop by from Dragon Con.
Oh, can I tell a story real quick, a tiny one?
Real quick.
Okay, so I won't say her name, but there is a Dragon Conner that she went in for her physical. It was a couple of years ago, and the PA that was there said, oh, you know, in her brain you could see, oh, fat chick. And so they started doing the questionnaire thing, and she's like, when was the last time you had sex? Because that's one of the questions they have to ask. And she's like, 2 days ago. And she said the PA, she kind of broke her. And the PA was then like, well, how many sexual partners have you had in the last year? And no, I'm not saying chick's a hoe. I'm like, she's a normal female in her healthy prime. And she said, well,
we don't judge on the show, so don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But she was like, well, and she started saying, you know, oh, no, this one and that one. And she said this woman's expression was just like she knew she had broken her, because to this person, this PA, there was this blonde young woman who happened to be heavy and a geek, and this woman's brain is thinking, oh, she's probably never had sex or never has this happen. And it's just so funny to me, because that is something that unfortunately is also overlooked. And by God, bring your condoms with you. Naloxone 9.
Oh, exactly. My friends, that we tell you, I know Darren tells it like till his face turns blue or red, in red sometimes, but you know, definitely
if you get embarrassed, Darren, you're good.
Exactly. But it's basically, if you have a chance, always, and I do mean always, bring protection. Even if you don't plan on meeting anybody or making new friends, I do that with air quotes, that Please, you know, bring it just to be safe. You never know what happens.
Health is not one aspect. It's all aspects. And we are by nature sexual beings. And if you don't take care of yourself that way, that is the worst thing you can do, because it's not just you. It's if you catch something, it's generational. You know, it's like, so take care of you and take care of your friends. Bring your condoms. Make sure you're naloxone 9.
Exactly. We can't preach that enough on the show. Thank you, Michelle, as
you're
always.
Well.
And we will see you again next month.
Ciao.
Ciao. And now we're here returning with Eternal Zan. Welcome back, Zan.
Hi, happy to be here.
Happy May.
Oh, it's so exciting. As we're recording this, it's 100 days to Dragon Con.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yep, memes everywhere about the 100 days.
Ah! That's what I just have to say about it.
So, well, I know we have a lot to cover, so I'll just get straight to it. This year, my segments are going to cover one host hotel and some tips about how to help you get a room for Dragon Con. But first, I'm going to go a little bit out of order. We have some big news, and I'm so excited about this that I almost wore a Chewbacca mask just to share this. Exactly. Thank you. I can't do the noise. On May 17th, word began spreading in the Dragon Con Rooms Facebook group and quickly spread everywhere that the Westin Host Hotel was releasing rooms at the convention rate. So, as you can imagine, this has been a huge topic of discussion in the Dragon Con Rooms group and elsewhere. And many of our members were posting helpful booking tips in there. So the main one is to call the Westin directly. People are having better luck with that than trying to book online, although online booking has worked for some people. If you do use the website, you have to put in at least September 1st through the 5th for the Dragon Con rate to show up. If you put in shorter dates, it shows as unavailable. And that's because most hotels have a minimum night stay to get the Dragon Con rate. So the Westin phone numbers to call are 1-404-659-1400 or 1-800-937-8461. If you call the local number, ask for in-house reservations. If you want to book online, you can try the booking link available from the DragonCon website. So in the navigation, you would choose where to go at the con, host hotels, and then you look for the Westin in the grid of information, and the original booking link is in there. You can also go to starwoodhotels.com and search for the Westin Peachtree Plaza Hotel in Atlanta. Now, I just tried all these before this recording, and nothing showed up as available, but keep trying, because if history holds true, when they try to take out deposits and they don't go through because somebody left an invalid credit card on file, they'll cancel the room and then somebody else will be able to get it. And this is pretty unusual among host hotels that when rooms become available, they're at the Dragon Con rate, because usually the host hotel will release things back at a regular rate, not the discounted rate. And the regular rate can easily be $600 a night. So this is a really good deal. And the Westin, like I said, has done this before in past years. So this is why I think the Westin has the reputation of the easiest host hotel to get. I haven't heard of this happening at any of the other host hotels. Have you, Mike?
No, not at all. It's actually really shocking when I heard the Westin was back available again, because it is a really nice hotel. Yes, it's not connected by a skybridge or anything, but it is really a really nice hotel to stay at. And it is a host hotel, and it does have Dragon Con TV.
Right. And it's near gaming now. So.
Exactly. And we'll talk all about that later in the show.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to skip where everything moved to and from, because I know you're going to cover that elsewhere. So my actual hotel spotlight this month is on the Hyatt. And there are several hotels with the name Hyatt in them. So we are talking about the Hyatt Regency Atlanta. That is the host hotel. And the Hyatt was the first host hotel I ever stayed at. I used to stay in the Hyatt, and a few years ago, I moved over to the Marriott.
A lot of people actually know the Hyatt because it's the hotel right in front of the route for the parade.
Right, exactly. Well, I'll just cross that one off my bullet list. I was going to mention that. That's a excellent point, is that it does face, if you get a room that faces Peachtree Street in the front of the hotel, like when you walk in, I'm calling that the front of the hotel, where the lobby, where you walk in the doors that rotate, the revolving door, if you walk in the revolving door, that's where the parade view is. The parade route hasn't been officially announced this year, but it usually ends at Peachtree Street right in front of the front entrance of the Hyatt. So that is a big selling point for people to get rooms in the Hyatt. So the Hyatt first became a host hotel in 1996, and some people say that it saved Dragon Con, because at the time, the Hilton kicked Dragon Con out. They didn't want Dragon Con anymore.
Way long ago.
Which, again, was like 20 years ago, people. So we're not holding it against the Hilton anymore. The Hilton's awesome. We love the Hilton. But that's why the Hyatt is a host hotel, because they took over for the Hilton back in the day. And then eventually, you know, the Dragon Con expanded to the Marriott and then to the Hilton and the Sheraton and the Westin. So, yeah, everything's all good now. But that's just part of the history. And the Hyatt was built by legendary architect and developer John Portman, who's responsible for quite a few downtown buildings. And it's the longest continuously running host hotel. It's 20 years this year. So that's a long time. The Hyatt's in a straight line with the Marriott and the Hilton. So you're walking downhill if you walk on the sidewalk outside from the Hyatt to the Marriott to the Hilton. And the Hyatt's a good hotel for smokers because most of their rooms in the main atrium tower do have balconies. Now, the rooms in the private towers don't. The private towers have separate elevators, and you need a room key to use the elevator to get to your room, which can really cut down on your elevator weight, which is substantial in the Hyatt.
Well, exactly. Well, Zan, let's rectify that a little bit.
Okay.
When we say that it has balconies, it's balconies to the outside, not balconies into the atrium.
Right. Yeah. I'm not suggesting you lean over into the atrium and light up. And light up and dip ash on the innocent costumers in the lobby. Yeah. Yeah. Balconies to the outside. Exactly. So there are two separate towers other than the main atrium tower, the International Tower and the Radius Tower. And the Radius Tower has smaller rooms. It's pretty cozy in there. And the International Tower rooms, I think, are the same size as the regular rooms. So when you're booking at the Hyatt, it's good to know what your options are as far as what kind of room you want, whether you want a balcony or not, whether you want that private elevator. So those are just things to consider when you book there. The Hyatt does have fewer costumers hanging out in the lobby because security keeps the traffic moving during the day, but later at night it's more relaxed. And a unique thing about the Hyatt layout is that you can't get to all of the meeting rooms, like where the convention events are being held, from all the levels. The rooms in the International Tower are separated from the main tower on the middle floor. So to get to rooms in the International Tower, you have to either be on the lobby level or the very lowest level, which is called the conference level. So if you can't figure out how to get from point A to point B to get from your panel to your next panel, it's probably because you have to go up or down a couple floors, cross over, and then continue on your way. So that can be confusing for new people. But the Newbies Tour will be covering the Hyatt in their Thursday afternoon tours, and they do an excellent job of showing people how to get around. This will be the fifth year of the tours.
And there are some great shortcuts.
Yeah, there are some great shortcuts. And this will be the fifth year of the tours, and I've been going on them since the first year. And then I became a tour leader, so it's been awesome. And the tours are going to be covering all three hotels I've talked about so far this year, the Hilton, the Marriott, and the Hyatt. So as far as what goes on in the Hyatt, they host the largest, most popular panels in their centennial ballrooms. Now, this can get confusing because there's four centennial ballrooms right next to each other, centennial 1 through 4, and they're numbered with Roman numerals. And lines for those form outside the hotel on the sidewalk. So you can always go to the door of a panel room and ask a volunteer where the line is forming for the next panel. And if you're already outside the Hyatt, you just start asking people on the sidewalk, what are you in line for? And then just keep asking every 100 people or so, because sometimes two different lines can look like the same line. So you start off thinking you're in the right line and then you end up in the wrong line. So just keep asking people. So basically, there are ballrooms, but basically anything with the room ballroom in it is going to be a large room. So expect a line that forms outside. Rooms in the lowest level of the Hyatt are smaller, but that doesn't mean they won't fill up. And I'm going to skip what fan tracks are in the Hyatt, because I know a lot of stuff has been moved, and you're doing an excellent job covering that elsewhere in the podcast.
I actually have a feeling we're going to be hearing about changes going on for the next few weeks.
Yeah, I know there was a recent volunteer meeting, and they just announced a ton of stuff. One thing that I do feel is important to cover is the closest disability services location to the Hyatt is in the Marriott. So I did get that confirmed. It's on the lobby level of the Marriott, and the room's very small. And last year, there wasn't room on the map to say disability services. So look on the map for VIP badge pickup is what the room was called last year. And for more information on disability services, you can go to dragoncon.org and type disability services in the search box in the upper right-hand corner, because it's a good idea to get your information in advance for that. So I did want to cover very quickly the booking notes for the Hyatt before I move on to the room sharing community. Last year, the Hyatt reservations opened on October 21st, and they used the passkey reservation system. They required a 3-night minimum stay and a 1-night's deposit taken out at the time of booking. And this is pretty standard for the host hotels. There's no word on how they're going to be doing the booking for 2017, but to get a room there for this year, you can try using the passkey link from the original booking day of October 21st last year, because sometimes you can get lucky and it'll work. And you can also try calling the hotel directly and asking, and just trying at Hyatt.com. The Hyatt's phone number is 1-404-577-1234. Now, I haven't heard anything about them releasing a bunch of rooms like the Westin, but, you know, hey, it never hurts to try.
Nope, so, never does at all. You'd be surprised how sometimes maybe in even July they'll be releasing a new block of rooms.
Yeah, and generally they don't announce it. You know, the way you find out is where it is spreading online. And somebody says, hey, I booked a room. Here was my experience. They share it in the DragonCon Rooms group or elsewhere, and then word spreads.
Exactly. You'll be here. You'll be on Facebook, and then all of a sudden you'll get a flood of people posting, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. So for the room sharing communities, I'm going to cover the DragonCon Hotel Connection Facebook page and the DragonCon Forums website. Now, the DragonCon Hotel Connection Facebook page is a page, not a group. So if you make a post to the page, it shows up off to the side where it'll get less views. But if you comment to an existing post, more people are going to see that. Now, this page doesn't post very often, but when they do, it's chock full of helpful information. They do roundups of what hotels have rooms. And of course, most of the year, that's going to be covering which overflows and other nearby hotels still have space. They did post when they learned that the Westin had rooms available, and they're an excellent resource if you are looking to book your own room and you aren't looking for any roommates. So to make sure any news from them, especially this time of year, shows up in the top of your feed, when you like the page, choose the option for show first, because by default, it's just going to say like default order or something like that. So you have to actively go in and change that to show first. And then when there's breaking news like, hey, rooms at the Westin, you'll be sure to see it. And finally, because I know we're running out of time here, there is, for people who are not on Facebook, there is a longtime community called DragonConForums.org. And they have a section called Get Me There, now also with room share. So clearly it started off as get me there, and then they added room shares. But really, you know, you can post all different kinds of things in there. It's a very well-run community. It's spam-free, which is awesome, because Facebook is not spam-free. And there aren't as many posts in here, so yours will stand out. And unlike Facebook, you can easily see how many views your post has gotten. And you can write as much as you like and have a link to share in other places. So that's a great place for people who are not on Facebook. And I can't think of any cons to the community other than, like I said, it is a little bit less active. But I think often that can really work in your favor. So I think that's all the important stuff I had. Is there anything I didn't cover that you want me to go over or that you had questions about?
Well, one of the most important things, we have two things we got to talk about with the Hyatt.
Okay.
First off, they have reopened the restaurant on the roof.
I went there last year. It was excellent. The Hyatt Polaris, you definitely have to get their little desserts. They have desserts that are shaped like the Blue Dome. They are delicious.
Oh, it is awesome. And because it had been closed for almost 30 years.
And, yeah, I'd never heard of it. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no.
It was a landmark. My wife had told me about it because she grew up here. And she said they used to go there for special occasions. And at one point, it was the highest point in Atlanta before they built the Westin.
I heard that. Yeah.
So it has history, but it's been totally remodeled and it's supposed to be beautiful up there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a mainstay here on Earth Station 1, of course, is the 22-story bar.
buckets of rum.
Of course.
I've heard about the buckets of rum. I don't think I've ever had one. Maybe like I had a little taste of one year.
Yes, the voodoo juice, the buckets of rum, and they're very well known for that at the Hyatt, and it's a mainstay for a lot of people. People actually have web pages and Facebook groups dedicated to the Dragon Con buckets of rum.
Now, do you think they've been watered down over the years? Because that's what I keep hearing.
Oh, yes. Does the sun shine in the west? You know. So, of course it does. And that's the one, that's how they make it last all weekend, is it's like 50% bucket of rum, 50% glass of water.
Did we mention that the Polaris is a rotating restaurant?
No, we didn't. That's okay, another little plus.
So it's excellent. We went there. I made sure I checked the time of sunset last year, and I made sure to book my party there for about an hour before sunset so we could enjoy the sunset. That was beautiful.
That is awesome. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing, and it's definitely worth checking out if you're going to be, you know, revolving around, no pun intended, the Hyatt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, definitely make a reservation.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Zan. Do appreciate that.
You are welcome.
And we'll see you again next month.
I look forward to it.
And so we draw a close to another episode of the ESO DragonCon 2016 Special Report. A big thanks to everyone for joining us on this episode. As always, we're glad to hear from Kevin Batchelder, Michelle Biddick-Simmons, and of course, Eternal Zan. And much thanks to our station crew. Thanks, Darren.
You're more than welcome, sir.
And are you going to MomoCon?
Probably not.
Okay. What's your next show? Heroes?
My next show is DragonCon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so. I'm not going to Heroes. No, wow. Can't go to North Carolina.
Gotcha. Yes.
Oh, no, I totally respect that, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wanted to go. I was set to go.
Ah. Thank you, Mary.
Absolutely.
Do you have a show coming up?
I'll be at MomoCon this weekend.
Awesome. So you say howdy.
Maybe I'll go to MomoCon and stalk Mary.
Huh?
Maybe I'll go to MomoCon and stalk you.
You should. You know.
Do it.
And Tacoma, I'll see you at MomoCon as well this weekend?
You will see me at MomoCon. I will be there.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Awesome. And thank you, Mike, for which none of this would be possible.
My pleasure, sir.
We try to cover all we can with these specials and then some in this one in particular. but to keep up with all the latest news, because it's changing every week, please check out the official DragonCon website and their social media outlets, especially their Facebook page. All the track directors, all the tracks are active on Facebook and various social media as well. So get involved with them. We on ESO can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Stitcher. We want you to be part of the discussion. So please feel free to join us in our social media groups.
Leave feedback, please.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, please help support us by donating via PayPal, purchasing very cool ESO merchandise from our Zazzle store, or filling up your cart as our Amazon e-store. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Mike Gordon, and it has been my pleasure. We'll see you at the con.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.